know that God has to open our minds to His truth. He has to call us. And many of us have accepted that calling in times past. And at the Passover, we all, those that have accepted that, renewed their covenant with God and Jesus Christ. Notice what it says in Acts 2, in verse 36. Let's go to Acts 2 and verse 36. Peter giving a sermon on the day of Pentecost, and you can read about the sermon before this, but let's drop down to verse 36. Notice what it says here. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know now, assemble, that God has made, that all the house of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made the Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to their hearts, it says. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Peter had given a great sermon before. He's getting to the conclusion. They were cut to the heart, the people that were listening. Men and brethren, what shall we do? They asked. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to not just to you, but to your children and to all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Notice, God had to call them to be able to understand. But Peter gave that route a very exciting sermon. And the people were stirred by what he said. And they wanted to know what to do. And the conclusion was they were to repent and be baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit. And we all did that. And then we renewed our covenant last night, or the night before, on Passover. All of those that have made that covenant, commitment in the past. Today, I'd like to ask you and myself a question. What will you do with God's truth this year? You've been doing things with God's truth through your lives, most of you, I'm included. But what will you do with God's truth this year? This year is different. We don't know what's going to take place in the future, but it is this year. What will you do with it? You know, it's ironic. This could be our last year. We really don't know, because God says in many places in the Scripture, we don't know the day or the hour when we no longer have this physical life, do we? I don't. We could not wake up tomorrow morning. We could have some ailment, and everything stops. I can think of individuals in the past, but that's exactly what happened. They went to sleep, and that was the end. So what will you do with this year? Will it be different? Will you make a difference this year? Will it be different for you? And will you be a better light of God's way? Let's take a look at what some of the things God says and Paul stated. Let's go to Romans 6 and verse 11. Romans 6 and verse 11. It's nice to see all the little kids running around. It'd be nice to have a whole house full of kids, wouldn't it? Just running around. Grandkids. They're a lot of fun too. You get to send them home. And the mom and dad have to take care of them. I bet Scott and Rita can't wait till their grandparents. It won't be too long, I imagine. Oh, now they're shaking their heads. I better get back on track here. Let's go to Romans 6, verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, you also, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. So to get rid of sin. And then he says, but alive to God in Christ our Lord. So we're supposed to be doing something. Rid of sin and being alive to Christ our Lord. Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, he says, that you should obey it or its lusts. And now verse 13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. And then he tells us something we should do. But present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So, we need to strive to be more righteous. Be more like Jesus Christ, his example that he set. These days of unleavened bread are a picture of coming out of sin. We can look back in Egypt, or in Israel's case, when they came out of Egypt, they were coming out of sin. They were learning God's truth. Well, these days picture us of leaving sin and becoming more righteous, following the example of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians 3 in verse 1. What are some of the things that we might add to our life this year that Christ and God the Father would want? Colossians 3 and verse 1. You know, some days you take this Bible up here and you go flip, and it comes right to the page. And some days you come up here and, well, I don't know, pages don't ever flip to where you put it. But it's all in here, I just have to find it. Colossians 3 and verse 1. If then you were risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. So seek the things that are of Christ, God's way, God's ideas. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So he's sitting right there. Let's follow his example, he's saying. Set your mind, he says, on things above, not on things on this earth. For you die, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And at the Passover, that's exactly what happened. Our sins were forgiven, and Christ took our place. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And we know that's a promise. We'll have eternal life if we develop the character that God wants. Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on earth. And then he tells the things we're to get rid of. He says about fornication, uncleanness, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then it goes on, verse 6, but of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. And we can read the prophecies that tell about what happens to those in the world around us. And if they don't obey, God's going to return, and there's going to be a punishment. The day of God's wrath. Verse 7, in which you yourselves once walked. We all were like that. Before God opened our minds, he called us and opened our minds to the truth. Which we all walked when we... In which we, you yourselves once walked, you when you lived in them. So we were like that. Verse 8. But now, he says, you yourselves are to put off all these. He talks about some more things we're to get rid of. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouths. Those things we have worked on over the years, many, many years. Now let's go to verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Having put on the new man, who is, and he tells you some of the things you are to put on, is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So the knowledge that we learn from God, that's what we're supposed to put on. And if we keep reading, he's going to tell you a whole bunch of things that we can work on this year. Let's keep reading. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcised, barbarian, and so forth. But Christ is all and in all. Verse 11, verse 12. Now he's going to tell you the things that you can work on. And if you take this and break this down, which I don't have time to do, but you can take each one of these things that are going to come up, and you can study for the next 2-3 years, and you still won't have them all figured out. Let's listen to some of the things that we are to act like Christ. Therefore, as the elect of God, we are the elect of God, because God the Father opened our minds to his truth, holy and beloved, put on, he says, tender mercies. We all can use that. Kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. And he says some other things that we can do this year. Bear with one another. Forgive one another. If one has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Those are big, big ideas. It's a big idea and hard to do. Verse 14. But above all these things, he says, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let God rule you. Let God's will be done. To which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. I think sometimes when I look at our nation, we aren't very thankful in general. I'm not saying that yous aren't, but I think the nation isn't very thankful for all the gifts that God has given to us. Notice what it says in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. So we only get wisdom from God, we know that. So let that wisdom come out from us. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the eternal. Then it says, and whatever you do in the word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he's telling us to put these things on. And I'm asking each of you to take, you don't have to do them all, it's going to take a long time, but pick one of them sometime, and as you go ahead here into this Days of Unleavened Bread and then on out through the year, pick one of those subjects. Sit down and see what you can learn by studying God's Word, what God can show you through His Spirit working in you, and what you can grasp on. Perhaps you could put on tender mercies. That's just the first one in verse 12. Study about tender mercies. What does that mean? Or something else that might interest you. Wisdom. Or so forth. The whole thing comes down to putting God first this year. Ask yourself, is this how they would want me to act? Is this how they would want me to act? Now I want to give you a little encouragement to do this. Give you one verse. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. When I first started to understand the truth, I guess I was in a Boy Scout camp, and I went to Boy Scout camp, and all the other kids didn't read their Bibles, but when they told us lights out, I used to sit in my sleeping bag and take a flashlight and read the Bible. Didn't understand too much. But I came across this one scripture, and I sort of, when I was young, I thought, this is some scripture that I like to keep in the back of my mind and try to do all my life. And you know, sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. But I want you to apply this scripture, Ecclesiastes 9:10, to doing God's way and taking one of those subjects and actually studying them this year. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Do it with your whole heart. Put your whole heart in it. Because when you're done, even if you failed and it didn't work out the way you planned, you did everything you could possibly do to get that job right. Oh, there'll be flaws in it. Every job I ever worked on, there's always flaws. I know where they all are. Some people never find them. Some people pick them out and out. So. But we all have flaws. But if we did it with our might, that's all that matters. And that's what God's looking for. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Because the reason is real simple. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where we are all going. And you might be young and you might think you won't die tomorrow. But you know, I don't know that I won't wake up tomorrow, and you don't either. If God don't give us life tomorrow morning, we won't be here. So let's live each day to the fullest. Let's apply God throughout this year to be a better light of His way, to live and be lights to others. Have a happy and wonderful Days of Unleavened Bread.